And we are back with another episode of Kay Saves the USA. And if you're listening to this now, you can also join me at AmpFest in June. Go and get your tickets. It's going to be fun. It's going to be out in the Coachella Valley. Probably less drugs than Coachella, the festival, but who really knows? But today, joining me once again, John Graves from Million Voices. John, I am so jealous of you. There are no freaking words, actually. And I was saving this. We were chatting a little bit before the show started. And there are no words, actually, for how... And I don't get jealous. I'm not a jealous person, like, about anything. But please tell the audience where you just got back from.
Yeah, so I wish you could have come with me, or at least been there. There was a movie premiere, red carpet, you know, with everybody dutted up for the 2000 Mules. That's been ongoing for almost 2 years of research about the ballot trafficking that happened. Dinesh D'Souza was doing the movie. Catherine and Greg, who did all the research and the kind of hotline tips and technology behind it. And so we were at Mar-a-Lago with President Trump, and he, you know, obviously spoke and then watched the movie with us. It's pretty funny because it was the fourth event I have had at Mar-a-Lago in the last, I guess, 3 weeks. I did the private screening for the Zuckerberg documentary Rigged, and then this one, and then a couple of fundraisers and strategy sessions. And so it's kind of funny. I guess I can say I've been watching two movies in the last couple of weeks with President Trump.
That's just so cool. And like the Trump thing is, I mean, you know, that's one of my goals. Obviously, after 2024, most likely, I want to just go and like be around him and whatever capacity that is. But you were also there with one of my closest friends in the entire universe, a man who I owe so much to, who I love unconditionally, Mr. Joe Pags.
And what a great guy.
For the audience, I was sat at home on my couch covered in my cats like a loser, and I get this photograph, and it's Pags and John together, huge smiles, and I was just like, you know what, F you both for not bringing me. Like, yeah, I don't even care. I love you both unconditionally, but come on.
What was funny is there's 300 people there, right? And so I'm like, how am I going to see him? He said, oh, you got to say hi to Joe. You got to say hi to Joe. I'm like, I don't have the relationship you do with Joe. Well, I just checked in. I'm chatting with someone right in front of the thing. And the next guy who walks in is Joe Pags with his mom, by the way, who I had a great talk with. She is so sweet and keeps him out of trouble, I think, and feisty, which is why he probably brought her. But what a great guy. What a great guy. And hopefully I think he and I talked about doing a show, and so we'll figure that out in due time. And it'll probably be fun because we both can have our first impression of the movie and what all happened there. So,
well, what was your first impression of the movie?
You know, it was interesting for me. I've known Catherine for 12 years and Greg, and I do geofencing. So I've kind of been around and helping what little bitty bit I could help. For 18 months to almost 2 years. And so for me, I had a whole different perspective of all the stuff that's gone on behind the scenes. And then to see what publicly gets put in a, you know, a movie / documentary was pretty interesting. I thought it was well done. My passion is more now what's the call to action. And so that's where I'm spending most of my time focusing. Although I'm spending a ton of my time driving people to go see this movie. If you're a skeptic, go watch it for yourself. It's kind of cool because, you know, Dennis Prager and Larry Elder were more kind of agnostic about whether there was voter fraud or whatever. But once they saw the evidence, they were pretty fired up about it afterwards. And I think it covered so much on the one hand that I think it can overwhelm people. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, with me, there was so much more that's going to keep coming out that didn't get in this little bitty less than 2 hour documentary. So I want to encourage people to go watch it. And we actually just sent out a link for people. We got somebody who's making a donation for everybody we drive to go watch the thing. So I'll send you one of those too. But what really hit me is how much could be missed. And I'll unpack that if you want to.
Yeah.
I don't know what all you want to cover today, but
So, I mean, like, obviously this video is only going to be on YouTube for probably about 15 minutes after I share it. But I've seen all over Twitter sort of people posting with like the hashtag and like Dinesh followed me back, all this kind of stuff. But just go into it, describe to everyone, like just word vomit, whatever you want to do, tangent for the next hour, because this is fascinating and I feel very lucky for you to be here.
Yeah. So basically what happened, so most people don't know about geo-tracking, geofencing, or tracking of what's called cell pings on your phone. And you'll hear one of the complaints. So as we go through this today, Kay, by nature, I'm more skeptical until you can demonstrate something to me that's kind of irrefutable. I'm looking for evidence. I'm that way philosophically, but legally, you know, there, you know, the old adage, you know, whoever makes the opening argument seems right. And then until the other side presents their case, there's an old proverb about that too, you know. And if you hear both sides of the case, it gets clear. So here's one of the complaints. Oh, well, that geo tracking is not very accurate. I've already heard this kind of from the far left, and they even call it fact checking. Well, the old technology, when you had your phone, they had to send a signal from a tower. It was good, and they could track a missing person. They could find, you know, sex trade victims, drugs, those kind of things. But it wasn't really, really accurate. That's old technology. Mm-hmm. This movie talks about the new technology, which is your apps. And so this will freak you out, and then I'll calm you down. So your phone's being tracked everywhere you go.
Yeah.
And every app you've ever downloaded, you've agreed to it by clicking on the terms and conditions. So you don't realize, go count how many apps you have on your phone, 50 to 500. When you do that, it's being done and can even sometimes be done when the phone's turned off. And so those pings can be so accurate, Kay, they can be down to 3 feet, all right? And so what they did here with this is they put the exact location, latitude, longitude on a map of every Dropbox, and then they went to every one of the nonprofits that Zuckerberg and others like him funded in these liberal, and remember, what I'm about to share with you, and if you go watch the movie, which I hope you do, 2000 Mules, you have to get it on Salem Now or Rumble. Those are the only two platforms you can really get it on. You can go to 2000mules.org or .com and find it. Other than that, it's pretty much blocked. But what they did is they took the nonprofits where they would go pick up these ballots, and then they put the exact location in only 5 metro areas in the country, only 5 metro areas, and found over 2,000 people who went an average of 38 different drop boxes each after going to at least 5 different nonprofits during early voting. So you've heard of ballot harvesting. So you're from California, right? That was a big controversy in 2018. Mm-hmm. There were some Republicans who won some races, and then they kept harvesting ballots. And then all of a sudden, the race turned upside down, right? Yeah. And so they use a term which I think is more accurate, which is ballot trafficking. Mm-hmm. Trafficking is something that's wrong. A harvest is a good thing, right? You want to bring in the harvest. You know, I know you don't do cows, you do cats. But if you were a farming girl, which you may be one day, you're going to pick up the harvest, right? It's a good thing. Well, trafficking is not a good thing. And taking illegal ballots and casting them illegally, or even a legal ballot and illegally casting it, which means you could sign it, you could change the vote, you could do whatever. That's against the law. These are crimes. There's not legal to do what they did. And here's what you can miss in the movie. You can watch it and go, wow, in just those 5 metro areas, Philly, Milwaukee, so Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Atlanta, and Phoenix, and then what am I forgetting?
I don't know, but just those 4 alone.
Detroit.
Yeah.
And Detroit. So those are the 5 metro areas that they did. So let's just take one at a time. In Atlanta, there were 305 drop boxes. And so they found over 242 people who went at least to 20 different drop boxes. Now, in Georgia, the law is you can take your own ballot, but it is illegal to possess, and I'll hold up a piece of paper here, it's illegal to possess another person's ballot. The only exception to that is like a disabled family member. Well, these people are going to 20 to 30 to 50 different drop boxes over and over and over during early voting. And then it's, well, here's the analogy that I use. It's like having a digital fingerprint. So your phone is sort of like a digital fingerprint. So instead of your fingerprint being at the scene of the crime where you stole some jewelry from Tiffany's, right? Now there's also video surveillance. And so they've got those same people that are bringing their phones over and over and over on video, shows their face. Some of them have gloves, there's stuff in the ballots. And remember, you know, that you can only have so many disabled family members and you can only do that so many times. And why would you go to 38 boxes for 30 different days in a row? But then what's more powerful, and they didn't get into as much of this as I think will come out because of probably legal reasons and, you know, criminal investigations ongoing, they had people admit it. And so they had whistleblowers talking about under the, you know, cover, you know, kind of hidden in voice changing technology. And there's more of those people out there, I know for a fact. And so these people admitted, I was paid $10 a ballot. And during the runoff in Georgia, it was more than $10 a ballot. And so that's what really is the bombshell. You know, there's theories. Did other countries interfere with our election? Did the software change it? We can't get our hands on the software. You know, legally, is it okay to do this? We've never had a day in court on these issues. They've all been dismissed on procedural grounds. But this is totally different for a couple of reasons. One is it's irrefutable. You got the digital fingerprint. You got the evidence on video of the person stuffing the boxes over and over and over. And then you've got admissions from people of what was happening, what they did, what other people did. And so now this is going to be interesting, Kay. There's a complete blackout shutdown. You can't even hear about this on any media that's out there. Literally, people are like, oh, well, Twitter is now free again. It's like, not yet. Elon Musk is buying it, but he hasn't bought it yet. And he hasn't opened it up. And so, you know, half of the conversation is still muted and deplatformed. And so there's two big problems. One is people don't know about it. And then two, once they know about it, and this is now the reaction since that time. You know, I talked to several people that night and several people in this last week since I've gotten home, and a lot of them are mad, but they don't know what to do. And so that's where my passion is. That's why we built the tool you and I've touched on before to try to get people to know what to do about it. So anyway, that's my nutshell.
Wow. And, yeah, you're right about the sort of silencing. I mean, I'm in like a, you know, my demographic. I think even like this morning I saw like Madison Cawthorn's like tweeting about it and I'm like, oh, I actually got to see this tweet. This is great. Like, thank you, Elon. Even though, yeah, he doesn't actually own the platform yet, which I think a lot of people don't really understand.
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends who are like theorizing that he's actually going to, I think that's a word, that he's actually going to try and like basically drop the value to like next to nothing and then buy it. But that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
You touched on this sort of idea of like people being angry after seeing the film. And like, I haven't seen it yet, mostly because I'm lucky if I get like 5-6 hours of sleep. I haven't had time to watch the film yet, but I will be. And a lot of very
it'll be a great people. Movie night. Bring your friends over and just say, hey, I'm gonna do the popcorn, y'all bring some drinks and we'll do a movie night. It'll be a fun movie night
with bottle of wine, popcorn, election integrity, the end of the world.
It all
that's like my together. Perfect evening.
Yes.
And the cats will be here as well, ruining everything, I'm sure. No, you said that people have gotten angry afterwards. Now, yeah. I mean, I guess it's like two different versions of anger, right? And this is the world that I inhabit since pretty much everyone pre like 2016 in my life is a screaming liberal. And then everyone post 2016 in my life, or 2016, 17, 18, is very much in, you know, the other direction, a little bit more open-minded, shall we say. So I guess it's like two different versions of anger, right? So you, the first thing I want to ask you about is sort of like the geotagging. Yep. So can you explain the actual technology to me? Because you said that people have been like, oh, it's not that accurate. But like, tell me if I'm wrong, but it's literally been used to like as part of like evidence to convict people of crimes, right? Yeah.
Yes, it is. So let me give you two examples that kind of answer this. Number one, it's accurate down to a meter. Okay. So the ping is being sent out all the time. That's 3 feet. So you're right there on top of the drop box, and there's no reason for you to get out of your car, get out of the parking lot and go to this drop box, and another drop box, another drop, all in the same night. There's just no reason for it. You know, you can say, hey, I was just checking on all the drop boxes over and over and over for 30 days. But then why does the video show you stuffing a bunch of ballots in at each stop and tell us how many disabled family members you have? You know, each state's got a little different rules, right? In Arizona, they drove by and did it. Well, there's something that happens in the film that a lot of people miss that I want to unpack. But before I do that, remember what happened. Let's pretend you're agnostic, okay? And you don't care about politics left and right. You just care about justice. You care about fair and secure elections. You care about people following the law, the rule of law, those kind of things. Well, on January 6th, do you know how they did the indictments? They took a geo-ping fence of everybody who went inside the Capitol by looking at their phones. And then what happens, Kay, is once I look at the phone, this is what people don't understand, so don't freak out too much. I can't say, hey, I'm a bad actor and Kay is a really pretty girl. I want to stalk her. And some guy says he wants your name and he can find you. You can't do it that way. It doesn't work like that. Yeah. Our phones are all encrypted. Okay. So because the phone's encrypted, it has a long device ID. It's got a 20-something digit number.
It's the IMEI number.
There you go. See there, you're more technical than I am. And so that number, nobody knows whose phone that is, but they know that phone. So they don't really know that Kay went inside. I'm not saying you went to the Capitol, but they don't know that Kay went inside the Capitol on January 6th, but they know her phone did. Mm-hmm. Or they know that device ID without her name. Well, all you have to do is that's probable cause for any law enforcement agency. And they say to the carriers, there's only three, right? There's AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon. And for the most part, that's 95 to 98% of all phones. You say, we have probable cause this person trespassed and went inside the Capitol, de-anonymized this phone. They then tell you that's Kay's phone. Here's her address. This is whatever, AT&T or Verizon or something. And then they now know it. Well, then they have to call Kay and say, Kay, did you in fact, somebody stole my phone a week ago or a month ago, or I let my brother borrow my phone or whatever. But they at least have probable cause that your phone was there. Now the question is, were you also there? Well, here's something that is missed in the movie because they only spent a couple of minutes on it. But in this, the backstory to this is incredible. I can't unpack all of it, but the backstory and the brilliance of why they did this and how they came up with it. They knew that using this technology, even though the left used it for January 6th to put a bunch of people in prison that went inside the Capitol. Well, here, law enforcement never used it, could have used it when the election ended, but they never did. So True the Vote, these citizen investigators hired some experts that knew technology and knew how to do this. And there's a whole team of them that are heroes, in my opinion, that did this work. You're never going to hear who they were, their backstories, a lot of really cool people. But they did a lot of really hard work. Well, in the story, in the documentary, they just touch on it for a minute. In Atlanta, Georgia, the DA is a big defund the police, you know, kind of radical leftist Marxist type of person. And there was this young Black girl that gets shot. They can't solve it. It was an outcry. It's an embarrassment to the DA in Atlanta. And this innocent little Black girl just gets shot. They think maybe it's drugs or crime or who knows what happened. But there's no leads and no one does anything. Kay, they took the identical pings that were the basis of the 2000 Mules documentary. And they narrowed down the exact location of where the girl was, the exact time that the girl was shot. And they narrowed using the exact same technology. And they narrowed it down that the two phones that were the only two that could have shot this young girl were these two people, and arrests have now been made for both of those people. So, so if this technology can be used swiftly to decide a crime of murder, and you now are going to act using the technology, you now have to look the other way and say, well, that exact same technology showed 242 people going over and over and over from these nonprofits to here, violating the law, and they're actually on video, and some of them have actually admitted that they were being paid $10 per ballot. One guy made over $40,000 in 30 days, which means he voted for over 4,000 people, which is a third of the margin in the entire state of Georgia in the 2020 presidential election. And so that is something that people get lost on. It's like, wait a minute, we can't have it both ways. We can't say that GOPing evidence works on January 6th for our political enemies, but when it's going to hurt how the credibility of this last election, now we're not. Okay. Well, then they go in the movie to describe, if you just assume they didn't go with every single phone that went to two drop boxes or even five. You had to go to at least 10 or 20 before they even counted you, because otherwise there was way more than 2,000 mules. There could be 5 or 10 or 20,000 mules. And this is only five metro. This is not the whole United States. This is not all 50 states. These were just the metro areas that Zuckerberg had funded. And so if it can solve January 6th, if it can solve a murder that the DA hasn't been able to solve and even didn't even have a lead, and now with the same technology, the same group gave it to them, and it led to the arrest of two different people for that poor little girl's life. You know, you can't argue with it. Okay. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So that's kind of terrifying. Let me see if I can, I mean, it makes sense, but let me like, I guess give my understanding.
Okay.
So the technology that's used to convict people in, or like arrest people in January 6th to arrest people related with, the murder of a child or a girl, is not being used to support the integrity of the 2020 election. So, I mean, I'm kind of like, it's going to sound awful. I'm almost numb to that kind of practice. I lived in California for so long, you know, we're just sort of used to corruption.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that no one's saying explicitly like Zuckerberg's, well, probably a little bit lefty, a little bit of a lefty. You know, there may have been some weird stuff going on. No one's trying to sort of like necessarily say, how do I put this without getting canceled from YouTube?
May already be canceled just by telling the truth.
Yeah,
about
I was going to say, it's all your fault. I can get Jack Posobiec on the show to talk about demons, but I can't get you to talk about like the actual like integrity of like American elections. God forbid we should have that conversation. Essentially like the technology is irrefutable. Like if you have your phone on you, you commit a crime. Your phone can be used as probable cause.
Probable cause, that's right.
We can prove that you were in the location at the time when the crime occurred.
That's right. So it's like if you're trying, let's say you're the prosecutor, okay? Yeah. Kay, the prosecutor today. Kay's going to save the USA by prosecuting crimes, all right? So okay. Kay goes, I'm at the scene of the crime. Someone was shot or jewelry was stolen. You have the fingerprint. Just because you have the fingerprint doesn't mean the person's guilty. There could be other fingerprints there from the day before, the day after, you know, that weren't there at the scene of the crime. Okay. And so it doesn't mean that just because the cell phone was there, they're all guilty. Okay. But it does mean something is suspicious enough here. We need to look further. And now, to me, you don't just have the fingerprint, you have video evidence. Yeah. Kay now knows who was in that room, and there was only this many people in that room. Kay can now go talk to them. If there's a proper investigation, Kay would get all those people under subpoenas, get them under depositions, get them under sworn testimony, and at least question them. Were you there? Did you have a motive to kill, you know, the victim that I'm investigating? And then number three, some of them admitted, yeah, I shot him. Well, yeah, I shot him too. And now you've got multiple people, you've got all three elements. Now, you still need to bring an investigation. You still need to, and it's easy, Kay. It's easy. De-anonymize. Tell me who the names of these IDs are. And that's what I'm hoping and I think is could possibly now begin to happen is some of these law enforcement people could now begin to do something about this. But I also think that it's going to make it really, really hard to keep using the excuse. This is all a big lie. This is all a big conspiracy theory. It's like Hunter Biden's laptop. Oh, it's just a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy. And now, okay, well, it's true. So let's just not talk about it. Let's move on. Let's move on. Let's move on. It's like, it's so that's what Epstein. You're seeing.
Yeah. Like it's just one of those things. Like what they say, I can't remember if it was Carl Higbee at Newsmax or someone was the first person to say like the life expectancy of a conspiracy theory before it becomes fact is now 6 months, which I thought was great. It was that so good. Great.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. And here's the thing. And yet what's happening with Hunter Biden's laptop? What's being done?
Nothing. Now,
there's some really, really, really wealthy guy. I can't remember his name. He does documentaries and stuff. You may know him because you're the California girl. That has now paid $2 million of Hunter Biden's past due taxes that he didn't pay. Did you hear this? He paid $2 million out of the goodness of his heart because otherwise they're going to indict Hunter. And if I just go ahead and pay Hunter's $2 million tax bill, which means he made many more millions than that. That's how they cover this stuff up and tell everybody to look the other way. And the mainstream media won't do it. I mean, and here's the thing, even what everyone thought was conservative media like Fox News, they won't touch the Mules documentary. They won't touch it. They haven't said a single word, not a single article about it. And so the problem is people can't get the truth out. And if people don't know the truth, they can be easily deceived, which is the whole way propaganda keeps going, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I can understand. So I guess we've kind of clarified and dismissed any anger that could be had from sort of like the left on like, geotagging isn't like accurate. Like, shut up. It is. Like, we know that it is now. Like, that's irrefutable. But I can understand why people who were at one of my cats is about to jump up here right now. But I can understand why people who have, you know, seen the film are now annoyed.
Yes.
I would like to sort of, I guess, dig into what you have heard.
Yeah. So
that annoyance and that sort of silence and ignorance.
Yeah. You pet the cat and I'll talk about you. I'll talk about what I'm hearing. Oh, that's a cute one.
She's useless, but thank you.
So one of the things that's happening is people, you know, their blood boils because there's some people knew something's not right. You know, it made sense when Obama was filling up stadiums that he won the election, right, over Romney or McCain. And so people kind of thought, okay, you know, that wasn't my team. I didn't vote for that team, but it makes sense that he got more votes. Well, for Biden to not even be able to get 9 people in most of his rallies to come, and for him to shatter Obama's voter turnout made a lot of people suspicious, like, that's odd. He's not a dynamic speaker. He's not winsome and articulate like Obama. And he can't fill up, he can't get anybody. I mean, he's got big circles with empty, nobody's in the chair, and he got 81 million. It just seemed odd. Whereas on the other hand, we didn't have McCain and Romney this time that couldn't fill up a stadium. We had another president on the other side, Trump, who could fill up stadiums. He could give 24 hours notice and have tens of thousands of people show up at an airport and sit out in the rain or cold or whatever. And
he still can now.
Increase his votes by 12 million and still lose. A lot of people knew something was wrong, but they haven't had evidence. And here's the thing to me about the Mules. I've been a skeptic on the software. I'm actually, we don't need to get into this today, but I've been working with several people who've actually done the forensic imaging and the audits of some of the actual before and after software. And I've moved from being a skeptic to going, wow, there's a big, big thing there to unpack. But it's really complicated, Kay. I own technology companies, data companies. I've been in this world a long time, and it's hard to make it simple enough for the average person like me to understand it. And yet this is old-fashioned fraud. this is real easy to understand. You took a false ballot and you stuffed it. Tens of thousands of you did this in key states. And that's not hard to refute. And some of you have admitted it. Many of you are on video. They're trying to delete the video like crazy. And so my passion is to get people to know, now what? Now what do you do? Because this is pretty rogue, right? This is pretty easy to see what's happening here. This is just old-fashioned fraud. You can call it retail fraud if you want a fancier word, maybe. And so what we actually built a tool called electionintegrity.vote, not .org or .com, .vote, electionintegrity.vote. And we're getting people to sign up there, connecting them to their state rep and their state senator, but also to their attorney general or governor or secretary of state, whoever has law enforcement authority over our elections. And so it's just a single issue of election integrity. When people care about that, they can go to that site, sign up, and then we show them how to make positive change. Because it's not just enough to be angry about it and complain about it on social media, although you'll be blocked if you complain on one side of the debate on social media, most all of them. But you can actually change these things. And that's what's happening. And what I predict is going to happen, Kay, it's going to take a while. But like Hunter Biden's laptop, the truth wins usually at the end of the day. The conspiracy theory gets exposed for the truth. Yeah. And that's what's happening. It's just happening really, really slowly because you can't normally. Here's something to think about. I know you're young, but in our lifetime, when Clinton, who was a liberal Democrat, had a controversy of doing some shenanigans in the White House with somebody who wasn't his wife. Well, what happened? Even the liberal media covered it. It was a story because they cared about news and they cared, even if they cared about ratings, they covered it. Now we live in an age where if it hurts their ideological alliance, they suppress it and look the other way, or even go out of their way to create their own fact checkers to put their spin on it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I like that you brought up fact checkers. I think, I can't remember who I was writing for. It wasn't where I'm at currently, which is separate to this podcast. But it was back at the start of the year, we found out that fact checkers are just a bunch of random people in a room.
I should send you, we had some of our people do a research and we called it fact checking the fact checkers. And then we made a cheat sheet. And in one page, I'll send this to you. You can give us to all your listeners. We took the fact checking the fact checkers, put all of the different most popular fact checkers, and then put who funds them, what's their source, and how none of them are objective in what they're doing. And people loved it because you can just get the real facts. I like, the world we live in is so complicated. I like getting things down to one page. And so we got that down to one page where people can print it, send it to their friends and go, wow, I thought that was an accurate source. I had no idea that was funded by the people who have an agenda, right? Remind me to send that to you if I forget.
Do you think it's possible to do anything without an agenda in this day and age? I know this is like a little bit off topic, but you and I have such wonderful philosophical conversations off the show. And I really like utilize you as sort of as a guide in that way. But like, do you think it's possible from everything you've done, everything you've seen, everything you've experienced in your life and career, do you think it's possible in this day and age to do anything without that kind of?
I really do. I think, you know, to me, one of my passions in anybody who has studied, I studied comparative world religions and philosophy a whole year of kind of graduate level philosophy classes before I went to law school. And what I love, and what I think there are, it's probably the minority of people now, is I love the free exchange of ideas. I even love discussing things with people who disagree with me because it sharpens me. And guess what? I don't agree with what I thought 50 years ago. You just said in 2016, 17, 18, you're having a conversion between kind of maybe socialism, Marxism, radical leftism. I don't know.
Oh, it wasn't that. I was never that. I was always a capitalist. I need to like just say that to all my listeners. I was always a hideous capitalist. I disappointed my parents terribly in that regard. But then I disappointed them more when I was like, hey, this Tucker Carlson guy is speaking some kind of truth.
Yeah. And here's the thing. When you speak the truth, you can also tell your own king he has no clothes on, right? You could say, hey, I like the policies of Trump, but why are you unnecessarily poking someone in the eye? Or is it okay to be, you know, narcissistic or arrogant about this position or that? It's like you can speak the truth. I do it as an analogy to the family, right? So you can love your dad, Kay, and yet not agree with everything with your dad. You've told me that before, right? He's a great man, but I'm still working on him on the whole, you know, socialism, liberalism thing. All right. So here's the thing. And Turning Point sees this all the time. The people that are their most outspoken, passionate people are who? The ones who've been told a lie that socialism has ever worked in the history of mankind. And so when they go, wait a minute, I thought this was the best thing, and capitalists were all terrible, greedy, materialistic, evil people. And I just found out in a study of world history, it has never worked once in the history of mankind. Margaret Thatcher. So let's make this American UK connection here. She was brilliant. She was a brilliant lady before her time in a lot of ways. Okay, she's a female Ronald Reagan almost. But she had a quote I'll never forget. She says, "You know what? Socialism is an excellent idea until you run out of other people's money to spend." And when you run out of other people's money to spend, what happens? You now have to turn to violence to go look at what's happening in Venezuela. Look at what's happening in the countries that do this. They have to then resort to violence because you've got to steal from one to give to another. And then who's getting to steal from who? You know, not everybody's a pure and innocent Robin Hood, right? They got their own agenda that they want to do. And so I really think, Kay, there is a way to get back to your question. There is a way to do it. It's harder. I have friends that do not agree with me on a lot of issues, and I actually kind of enjoy it because it's refreshing to me to not have an echo chamber. It forces us to stretch our brains, if you will, to stretch our understandings and things I believed 10, 20, 30 years ago. I hope I'm growing. I hope I'm having better understanding, right? I'm hoping that you're wiser now in 2022 than you were in 16. Mm-hmm. And yet the way you're going to be wiser in 2025 and 2030 is to continue to surround yourself with the free exchange of ideas, even ideas that are contrary to your current held position, because it's the truth, Jesus, right? The truth, if you seek it, you'll find it. Yeah. And that's why, as a believer, you're never afraid of the truth, ever. Even if it's your adversary, if it's your enemy, if it's somebody who hates you, deplatforms you, cusses you, whatever, it's okay, because at the end, the truth will win. Now, it may take a longer time than we like it. If people aren't open, they're not going to be open-minded to hear it. But to me, there are people that are out there. And I really think my hope in this next generation is they're seeing through the spin. They're seeing through the propaganda. They're seeing through, wait a second, you know, and look at Hunter Biden's laptop. Let's take it out of election integrity. That changed who won the presidential race. 25% of Democrats have now been polled. Had I known that Hunter Biden's laptop was true and not disinformation the month before the election, I would not have voted for 25% Democrats. The race is over. It flips, right? 50% of independents. Forget Republicans. Let's just assume they all voted the same. The people who swing elections are like, the truth was kept from us.
Yeah.
And now there's a lot of buyer's remorse, you know? And so I know that's a long answer. There's probably a much longer answer than you wanted, but I do think that that's possible. And I want to encourage all your listeners, go out of your way to befriend someone who doesn't think the same way that you do. If your convictions are real and if they're thoroughly thought through, and if you've vetted your own thoughts, right, then you're not going to be afraid. You're not going to be afraid of new ideas.
No, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, one of the things that, and this is another plug for everyone listening, shameless plug. But one of the things that I'm really proud of, oh my God, I've never said this out loud or even thought this before. One of the things I'm really proud of in my life, in my career, is every Sunday I get to go on Newsmax every single morning and debate Alice Hennigan. And like, don't get me wrong, Alice does my freaking head in. Like, I mean, he just drives me up the freaking wall with a lot of what he has to say and think and be and blah, 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 blah. But my goodness, does he stop me and make me think every single weekend? I take a step back and go, damn it, he had a point there.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's many things we've ever agreed upon, but the fact that he and I can come together and have that debate every weekend, and, you know, sometimes it does feel like a little bit like, you know, me and Carl Higbee will like pile on him, but I think it's one of the very few things that we should consistently do as human beings. You know, like all these ancient philosophers who get like quoted on social media and stuff now, they used to just sit in some random spa and just argue, go away and have a sauna for like 20, 30 minutes or 3 days or however long they wanted, because honestly, the Roman era just sounded marvelous, and the Greeks just sounded wonderful, very relaxing. And then they would come back together and discuss what they had thought about and sort of hypothesized and evolved on since their last argument. And I think that's one of the best things that we can do as human beings, and one of the things that's been forgotten. And it's sort of ironic, really, right? Like, we've forgotten how to argue with the people that we love from the perspective of mental evolution because of platforms like Facebook, like Twitter. And then after all the stuff came out about Hunter Biden's laptop, we had Jack Dorsey turn around and say, yeah, that was actually a really big mistake. And that was one of the very few things where I turned around and I was like, hey, Jack Dorsey's kind of good looking, huh? Have we not?
Yeah, he admits it's attractive when somebody admits they're wrong.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And, you know, I think that I will say, maybe I'm biased in my demographic, in my group of friends, or like my group of friends as a demographic, like we're all pretty good at admitting when we're wrong. I obviously have never been wrong, so I wouldn't know.
Just hypothetically speaking, we're just hypothetically speaking here.
Hypothetically, if I ever were wrong, I would admit it.
Yes, you would admit it. Yeah. No, which is a sign of humility, right?
It really is.
And it's honestly, it's really a sign of vigorous mental exercise, if you will, because if you're never wrong, you're not having a lot of creative cutting edge thoughts, right? If you're never wrong, you're not out there trying to explore something more challenging. And I'll never forget, actually, here's another UK connection. This guy was a pastor in the UK. I had just converted. I grew up a non-believer, unchurched. I was really a pretty angry atheist, couldn't stand Christians or any people that were, you know, faith people. I get saved studying world religions in college, and I'm in my young 20s, and I'll never forget this guy. He was over like 600 churches globally, but he was based out of the UK, and he was in his 70s. And I remember him saying, the older I get, the more comfortable I become with this phrase, you know, I don't know the answer to that question. And I thought, it really struck me, because I thought, wow, that's good for me to know, because I want to know the truth. And there's some things that are too big for us to know on this side, right? And yet we must do the best that we can for it. And then we have to be kind of practical of, okay, now what? So let's go back to the mules. Okay, there's a fraudulent election. Now what? Do we burn the house down? Do we quit and give up? No. There's another scripture, in your anger, do not sin. Doesn't say don't get angry. You should have a righteous anger about injustice on both sides. You should be just as passionate about injustice on either side of this equation. And would you be as passionate if your team won, but there was a questionable call or a fraudulent officiating or something like that? You should be. If you really care about justice and not just your team winning, you should be. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what's happened now, Kay, is both sides do this. Both sides are guilty. So I'll kind of throw everybody under the bus here. They demonize their adversaries. They demonize their enemy because it's a lazy man's way to have an argument. I'll just demonize you and tell you, oh, you're just stupid or you're evil or you're a horrible person. It's like, okay, so you've now lost your moral footing. You've lost your intellectual footing to have a conversation or a debate with me. I remember when I first became a Christian, I'm in a comparative religious philosophy class, and I was the only believer in the class. It was the greatest thing that could have happened to me because everyone was attacking me. and I had studied the original teachings of Buddha and, you know, the Hindu foundations and the original teachings of Christ, but I didn't really have any kind of like church experience. I just read the original authors of all the major religions and philosophies. And it was the greatest thing that could happen to me because it forced me to defend the faith that's inside of me. Well, the same thing happens at a lesser degree in our cultural or political discussions, doesn't it? If you're going to say I'm a capitalist, well, why are you a capitalist? Have you been thoroughly vetted? It sounds like you get to get exercise every Sunday morning on your show. Well, it's good for you to be thoroughly pressed into a corner because there are imperfections with capitalism. There are weaknesses with it is not all good and all evil. It's that one primarily works in mankind, in society and cultures, and one does not. They tried socialism when they founded America. It didn't work. The people who worked hard went, I'm busting my tail and he's getting the same amount of food I'm getting. How long do you think I'm going to keep doing that? I'm going to go somewhere else and plant my own corn. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I know we're kind of getting off, but I really think that for me, the passion is we want you to watch this movie. We want you to be educated, and it's okay to come in skeptical. I frankly enjoy talking to people who come in. I do it all the time. People who come into me going, you can't do that. You can't do this kind of technology. There's no way that's, and it's like by the end of the conversation, usually after an hour or two, they're now leaning in, asking questions. You know, I love skeptics because if you're not asking skeptical questions, you're probably not asking the hard questions and you want to just close your eyes and believe in what you say you believe. There's nothing wrong with a true analysis of it. But then what do you do about it, Kay? What do you do if there's fraud? Well, you don't go burn the streets down. You don't go, you know, demonize somebody else. You don't just give up and quit. You go, you know what? These are state law issues and we can change these laws at the state level. We've now exposed private funding. 80%+ of the people in America think that's a really bad idea because that works both ways, right? Stuffing the ballots with other people's ballots. Even if I hated the current president, the past president, it's still not okay because that works two ways too, right? We want fair and secure elections. And so we can change those things at the state law. And that's why we started that electionintegrity.vote so we could drive people to something, how should I say it? Productive, something constructive, maybe is a better word, that people can do with that anger, with that frustration, with like, you got to be kidding me. And there's a lot of people, and they get very offended at me that I don't make everything about, let's go back and change 2020. It's like the ship has sailed.
Yeah.
There's no constitutional mechanism to do that. Trump's not even talking about that. This is much, much, much bigger than Trump. This is about fair and secure elections we're not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. We choose to elect people to go represent us. And if that was stolen from us by someone else, I don't care how it happened. Let's say it was software or something else. It clearly was stuffing the ballots with illegal votes. That's not okay. That's not okay because now all of our lives are going to turn out differently and we are no longer a government of the people. We're a government of whoever stuffs the most ballots. That makes sense?
Wow, it does. And it's terrifying. And I'm like, I'm really gutted we're like running out of time here because I have notes. And I'm sorry, John, we're going to have to do another show. Sorry. Okay. I have so many questions, half philosophical, half about sort of more of the technology. I guess as we're wrapping up a little bit here, and again, I just want to like reemphasize to everyone, I can't vote. Like I'm here regardless of who the president is. And so, please don't have a go at me for doing this show. Even though I agree with everything that John said, sentiment and everything. But John, where can people find you? and what can they do when they do find you?
Yeah. So if they just go to that site, if they care about election integrity and want to know, we'll send them links on these two documentaries we talked about a little bit, and also some very practical things they can do. They can just sign up and get emails. If they just want to learn more, they say, look, I'm a skeptic, I don't know if I believe all that. Just learn more. And on a weekly basis, we'll send a simple email. I usually do, or try to do when I'm in town, a short little video snippet of kind of the news. So you can just go to electionintegrity.vote. Sign up there. If you want to use your voice, if you're ready to do something constructive, do it yourself. It costs you nothing. It's free. And every month we're going to send you, hey, here's what you want to do. This is what's coming due in your state. You can pass a bill or put pressure on your state reps to pass a bill to outlaw private funding or ballot trafficking, or enforce the laws if it's already fraudulent. Or, and what happened in a lot of places, Kay, is they deleted all these videos. Or they never took the videos. The federal law requires you to do this and keep it for 22 months. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these videos are missing. And the public is supposed to have access to this, right? Because there should be nothing to hide. And that's part of the problem. So they can go to electionintegrity.vote. A lot of people, Kay, and I don't mind doing this, we built the system to do it, say, look, I don't write letters, I don't want to go find a stamp and an envelope and figure this all out. Would you do it for me? They make a small donation, less than a buck a day. And we send the letter, not from us, it's not a petition. We send the letter from UK to your state senator, UK to your state rep, whoever the person, John Doe, your listener is. And it, the only return address is to them. So we're trying to get your state rep people. There's not 435, like at the federal level, there's 7,383. And they're more likely to respond to you. We give them your return information, whether you want them to call you back or write you back. And we're out of the picture. Our name's nowhere on the card. It's all about you using your voice. The whole reason we came up with the millionvoices.org thing is people's reason for not getting engaged is they think their voice doesn't matter. And we're trying to put the cookies on the lowest shelf to make it to where it's easier for them to go, wait a minute, I can just punch a button and you send a letter for me on the things I say I care about. And then voila, my state rep is responding. And people then, we ask them to share back with us the responses they get or the letters that they send. And so that's the biggest thing that we do. And there's one new tool, and it hopefully by the time you and I do the next podcast, we'll be live. But if you sign up there, we have a way that we send you information on your phone and it's not blockable. We have a click to share button so that if we send you something and YouTube is blocking it as a conspiracy theory for 18 more months until it's true and irrefutable, or Facebook does it, they can stop me, right? So if I send millions, which I do, of texts to people to educate them, they can try to block me. If I say something on YouTube, they can block me, but they can't block all of you. And so we send the information to you, you click a button and you share it with 10 of your friends or 100 of your friends, or however many friends you have.
Well, I love that. And I have a sneaking suspicion I know who's behind that technology as well. The tech and I highly recommend it.
Yes.
That's my bias. John, yeah. But just thank you so much. Again, amazing show for everyone listening, for everyone watching. You can go and listen to the rest of mine and John's. I want to call them conversations because that's what it feels like. I mean, this is the crazy thing, right? It's like we have these conversations whether the mics are on and the cameras are rolling or not. Thank you so much for coming on today. You can, for everyone listening, you can click all of the links in the description to get involved. I highly recommend that you do if you are a citizen, if you are registered to vote. Even if you're not, get involved, get educated. And John Graves, everyone, thank you so much. Wait, we got a smile. We got a smile for the thumbnail. Okay, there we go. But thank you everyone for watching, and we will be back soon.
Thanks, Kate.